Hello there, and welcome to the Construction Revolution podcast. My name is Eric Yee, and here on the show, we explore the latest trends, technologies, people, and organizations that are revolutionizing or disrupting the construction industry and changing what the industry will look like tomorrow. Today on the show, I'm speaking with Stacy Smedley. Now, Stacy has a Bachelor of Arts in Architecture from the University of Washington and over 18 years in the architecture and construction professions. Her resume includes the first lead for Homes Platinum Certified Project in Washington State, as well as the first project in the world to be certified under the Living Building Material Version 2.0 standards. As Sustainability Director at Skanska, Stacy has led sustainable initiatives and is considered a subject matter expert in LEED, Living Building Challenge, and carbon emissions associated with buildings and construction. In her role at the newly established nonprofit Building Transparency, Stacy leads the continued management and development of the free, open access, embodied carbon construction calculator tool and works to educate and engage the building industry on actionably reducing embodied carbon emissions of building materials. Stacy has served in various advisory and leadership roles, including co-chair of the Washington Business for Climate Action, advisory board member of the University of Washington Carbon Leadership Forum, construction task force chair for the Embodied Carbon Network, advisory group member for the AIA Materials Working Group, emerging professional regional chair for the USGBC, membership chair for the Cascadia Green Building Council. She is also a 2020 Grist 50 Fixer, a 2019 ENR Top 25 Newsmaker, and shared a Living Building Challenge Hero Award for her work on the Birchie School Living Science Building. So without further ado, let's hear from Stacy Smedley just after this. Prior to joining the construction space, I had no idea what an environmental product declaration or EPD was. But from my admittedly limited understanding, it essentially acts as like a label, similar to like a nutritional label on food or even like those Energy Star ratings. But it's more about like how much greenhouse gas emissions a product is responsible for in getting it to the final kind of person. Could you touch on what makes up an EPD in the construction space?
Sure. Yeah. So you've got it right. So an environmental product declaration, the analogy I always use is it's a environmental impact nutrition label for a building material. So it's got a declared unit, which is kind of like a serving size. So, you know, for concrete, it might be one cubic yard of concrete instead of a 2/3 of a cup or something like on a food item. And then there's a kilogram of CO2 equivalent, which is basically the global warming potential associated with creating that 1 cubic yard of concrete. And that's really looking at, you know, the carbon emissions and the gases that are being released and getting to a amount of that per concrete, cubic yard of concrete, so that if you wanted to, you can start to analyze products that are comparable, like two concrete mixes from two suppliers, on that metric to understand which one has a lower impact.
So I guess like if you're a general contractor or an owner and you're really interested in like the potential impact that your choices are making in building material, this is the calculator that you've created, the EC3 calculator, is a really great way to kind of compare one to one which would have a better impact on your building.
Yeah. So what we've done with the EC3 tool, so we found these EPDs and we found that they're third party verified, first of all, so they're not self-declared. They go through a verification process by a third party outside of the manufacturer. We also have rules that are set up that follow ISO standards, so they're set on rules that help to align materials that are in the same category. And they were these PDF documents that the program operators like UL or ASTM would publish to a website, and then someone like me in my Skanska role as the general contractor would go find the PDF and download it, and then find the table that had that kilogram of CO2 per unit on page like 10, and it would take me, you know, an hour to find one EPD with that number that I then put in a spreadsheet, and I'd go find the next one so I could start to look at these manufacturers and products next to each other. So EC3 was kind of the result of that that kind of acknowledgement of the time it was taking, and that I wasn't the only one that was out there doing that same thing of finding the PDF and downloading it and searching and creating spreadsheets. So we took the time to digitize all of those EPDs. We've machine read through scripts all of the data out of the PDFs, put it in a digital format that then that's standard, then allows someone to go in and pick concrete or rebar or gypsum board, go into that category, search by location if they want to see what's available within, you know, a certain region or place, set performance characteristics for that material, then click search, and it'll populate your search with all of the EPDs that we've digitized that meet your criteria. So if you're taking something like gypsum board, which is something that, you know, we use across all sorts of different building types. I've got it right here on my wall. You could put in gypsum board and click search for U.S. manufacturers and get the CertainTeeds and the USGs and their products, and then be able to say, okay, both of these meet my criteria, but this one's lower carbon, so I should probably use that one because it's just a better choice and it's available to me right now. So that's kind of that's the first kind of low-hanging fruit step.
One of my follow-up questions was going to be, how did the EQ3 calculator get started? But I'm assuming it clearly got started from, there must be a better way to do this, and looking through all these PDFs that are probably formatted differently. And then you're probably thinking, okay, well, if I'm doing this, how many other organizations, just like extrapolating that out, are spending the same amount of time doing this? There must be a better way.
Correct. Yeah. And I think, you know, when that kind of idea and that realization came to me at Skanska with our team, it was, okay, if we're going to solve it for ourselves, why don't we just solve it for everybody and make sure this is a free open access resource? That's what we did. And by doing that, we got other funding that came in to help support its creation. Folks like Microsoft, and some other large companies, Skanska kept on supporting it. We got WebCorp, another contractor. We got this kind of groundswell behind it because it was going to be free for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then we launched it in November of 2019 as a free tool.
I mean, it just makes sense because if you're already experiencing that and you're going through the process of looking for this information to make better decisions because you care about the impact and the environment and the legacy that you're leaving, why would you not enable other people to do the same thing? So that makes a lot of sense. There's another part of the calculator too. It's not just necessarily looking things up, but you can also take your plans and put them in them to see what kind of overall impact you're going to have, correct?
Correct. Yeah. So there's really two parts. The first is that kind of search where you can just go in and easily get to a product level search if you're interested in specifying something, you know, quickly or just understanding that. But then you can also, if you think about it, kind of like cost estimating for construction, you have a bill of materials with quantities, and you take a cost per unit of material and do the multiplication to get to an overall cost of each material category or choice. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing where you can just input your material quantities and then the tool does the math of the carbon per unit for you to give you a look of, here's my concrete versus my steel versus my, you know, interior materials and how big the impact is from a carbon perspective. And then here's what happens if I actually choose these products in terms of where I fall against what's possible. And then a reported out result where you can get to like a kilogram of CO2 per square foot for your project.
That makes it so much easier. I can just imagine if you didn't have this calculator, how daunting it might be to actually try to figure all of that out on your own.
It's a lot of spreadsheets and calculations in Excel.
Not everyone likes. I like spreadsheets, but not everyone likes them.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what has kind of the reception been to it from, say, material manufacturers? Are most of them interested in for it, or are some people maybe resistant to kind of disclose what their carbon emissions like on their product, or maybe they're just kind of nervous and actually have the visibility on those things?
Yeah, so it's interesting. It's a mixed bag. So typically in the sustainability space and the building industry, manufacturers and suppliers are looking for the business case to do anything, something that's going to help them get selected and help, you know, increase what they're selling. And we've seen that with things like toxicity disclosure or VOC content or some of the other things that have been pushed through rating systems like LEED, where once people started asking for it, they of course were going to provide it because it was something that could differentiate them or even just meet a criteria that was required. Mm-hmm. So the same thing is kind of happening with EPDs, where there were some suppliers that were looking into their carbon impacts and saw like an early value in being the first to disclose, or they were doing it anyway, so why not publish an EPD to show what they were doing? There are others that were just doing it because it was a checkbox. There was a lead credit that just said, provide 20 EPDs for 20 products that you're building with. So a lot of the first kind of EPDs were created just because someone said, I just need your EPD. They weren't looking at the data to do anything with it. So we do have a good collection just based on that. And now what's happening is that market demand, where now that the data is available for those that have publicly disclosed and already invested, there's a competition among those that have disclosed on how can we continue to optimize our products from a carbon perspective. And then there's kind of a business case almost requirement for those who haven't. To stay competitive, they need to actually invest and get the environmental product declarations, maybe even to be allowed to bid on a job. So that's where it's going, I think. There's policy and owners now that are going to say, hey, I can look. I have three choices for this. I'm going to just, those are the three that can actually bid on my job. Or there might be legislation that comes that says you have to have an EPD for this category to be procured federally. So I think those who are kind of who are a little bit late on the business case, or that haven't had that business case yet, are going to be brought along based on some of these policies that are coming.
Yeah, it seems like based on the limited trends I see, is if you're not doing these, your pool of potential customers is slowly going to shrink over time, where it makes sense just to do them to make yourself more competitive, so you have that market to go to.
Yeah, there's also like the positive thing I think about more suppliers starting to do it is also that they learn more about their emissions and their impacts by going through the process of getting the life cycle assessment done of their material or their product, understanding their emissions at the plant level or back in their supply chain, even like where are they sourcing the stuff that goes into their products. So that education on that side then allows them to start optimizing. So there's a big potential that this is going to start to really educate the larger manufacturing market on, gosh, I do have these impacts. I can actually reduce them. Some of those reductions may not be that costly. We just haven't been looking at it.
I mean, if you're not measuring it, there's no way to even know what needs to be fixed. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
So if there's a manufacturer like listening to this who wants to get started on producing an EPD, but they don't know where to get started, what would you kind of tell them to start with?
Yeah. So there's a group of program operators, either if you're in the States, there's a group that typically do EPDs in the US or the North American region for different material categories. And actually in EC3, if you log in to the tool on the left, there's a how to get an EPD section on the left, where if you click on your product category, it will give you the list of program operators that have done EPDs for your category and how many. So you can start to understand who you could reach out to and say, hey, I'm interested in this. You provide this for my material category. What's the process? So really it's engaging the program operators that are able to do the verification, and they'll help you get started and connect you to who needs to do that kind of life cycle assessment work. I think that's really the starting point, is just to kind of understand who can provide the service and start to reach out to them and ask questions.
Well, it's good to know that there's someone out there that can help manufacturers with that, just so they're not going it alone and trying to figure that out.
Yeah, we also, Building Transparency hosts a group called Materials CAN, which is Materials Carbon Action Network, which is a group of manufacturers across different material categories. And they're ones that have been doing this for some time now, kind of the early adopters. And that group's sole focus is educating and support of the larger manufacturing community. And that's on our website too. And we're always looking for new members or new manufacturers that we can help. And that would be a peer-to-peer. So it would be someone that's done this process as a manufacturer that wants to help a new one understand it too.
So someone that's been through it, they're just a little bit down the road before the new person.
Yeah.
That's great. So I had a question, because I know like a lot of the EPDs, they seem like a very like business to business kind of trend, like information. Do you see any consumers who are environmentally focused looking into them when choosing maybe where to live or where to have their office, and like in terms of buildings? I can see like if there were these on product labels, you could they easily make that choice, and I can see where owners are having that decision making, but do you think consumers or end users of these buildings are going to eventually have any impact on looking for EPDs or anything like that?
I think that, yes, I think so. I think similar to how, you know, I think we've gotten used to looking for LEED plaques or as a building LEED certified, right now, in terms of, I think there are some tenants and some, you know, leasers of building space that require that type of thing now. They want to be in a building that's green or that's doing better. Mm-hmm. There's also zero carbon certification that you can get now. So I think as people start to understand more just the scale of the impact of all these building materials and these emissions, that it may come to the point where it's going to be like, oh, how low carbon is this building? you know, what is your kilogram of CO2 per square foot? Or can that be a metric that's, you know, planted on the side on a QR code or displayed somewhere? We're talking about that. The EC3 tool already creates QR codes at the product level for each EPD. So if a manufacturer wanted to just slap the QR code on their product and someone scanned it, it would get them to that data.
It's a super simple way to just quickly figure that out and scan it, and there you go. Wow.
Yeah. So hopefully, I mean, we built that in because we want that to happen.
So I have one last question before I let you go, Stacy, and it's actually maybe just pivoting a bit to your work on the Carbon Leadership Forum. And what's the current path to eliminating embodied carbon from buildings look like from where we are now to what you hope to see in the future? What kind of technology are you kind of seeing?
Yeah, sure. So there's kind of different stages. Right now, we're at this kind of low-hanging fruit stage where just by understanding the current supply chain, there's around a 30% reduction possible just by making smart choices based on materials that already exist. So that's kind of the first phase. While we're doing that, what we're seeing happen now, of course, through the data being out there, is this competition and these manufacturers beginning to innovate to lower further. So that next stage is just innovation. And there's kind of stages of innovation. There's how do I optimize my plants from an energy perspective? How do I use recycled materials versus not? Those are all things to kind of get to the next chunk, which might be another 20% or so, right? Mm-hmm. So now we're down to about 50% or more from where we started. While that's all happening, there's also investments happening from kind of the leading companies across different material categories on, you know, how do we get to zero? We want to be the ones that are there first. And, you know, examples are things for like in the concrete and cement industry, carbon capture. Can we capture the carbon off the cement stack and either store it in a decommissioned oil well or turn that CO2 into something liquefied that can be used for something else? And so those investments and those kind of innovation case studies are already happening. And that's how we're going to get to that bottom chunk. And what I'm hearing now when I talk to suppliers and manufacturers is we're investing in the innovation so that when we need to actually implement these things in our plants, it's just part of our annual plant budget. So the cost to the consumer might not need to be 30%. It might be small or nothing because they're building up the capacity to have that as part of their process. So how long that takes, I don't know. It's moving way quicker than I thought it would already in terms of just people starting to look at this. But there, you know, I think if we're talking about 2045, that I'm fairly optimistic that we can, you know, 24 years we'll be able to be getting pretty close to zero, if not zero. And then there's all these cool products coming online that are, you know, carbon sequestering, bio-based products that are alternative products that are also seeing investment that might actually take us negative. So where they're storing the carbon, where buildings could become carbon sinks, and the Carbon Leadership Forum is really doing a lot of research work around that.
So like within the concrete of the structure or some other place in the building that actually be storing carbon instead of releasing it into the atmosphere?
Yep.
That's incredible.
Yeah. That's really the end game in my book.
Well, especially when they talk about, you see so much talk about how buildings are such a huge contributor, not just in actual being built, but when they're operating. But there's a way to actually turn them into giant, say, silos for carbon. It's a very interesting proposition.
Yep, I agree.
And I just had to say, when you said that 2045 is only 24 years away, that was a little scary. It's gonna be here so fast. Not necessarily just from an aging perspective, is what I'm thinking.
Yep. No, I agree. I hear you. I just turned 40, so I feel that.
Well, Stacy, thank you so much for coming on the show today. I really appreciate your time. And where could people find out more information about the EC3 calculator?
So if you go to the nonprofit's website, just buildingtransparency.org, There's a link to just register for free and gain access to the tool in 5 minutes yourself, and also some resources and videos that we're developing and other kind of primer documents you can download.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And thank you again, Cece, for coming on.
Of course. Thank you.